So we're going to go through the 70 weeks of Daniel tonight. Now, typically this will be a little different presentation than we've had the last two Sunday nights, and it's very much different from how I usually speak. I'm going to look at this more as a technical report. In many ways, I'm going to try and take some of this apart the way you would take something apart if you were entering into a contract with somebody, because that is what the literal, historical, grammatical interpretation of Scripture is. You're trying to figure out what did those words mean within the original context and the normal usage of the word using the grammatical constructs of the day within that historical setting. That's what we're going for. So, this evening, the 70 weeks of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27. So, let's advance to the next slide. Why are we studying the prophecy? We want to illustrate the value of a consistent, literal, historical, grammatical interpretation of the prophecy. That's what makes us who we are. Yes, we believe the Bible, but what makes this church what it is that type of a way of interpretation. We don't bring something from the outside in and try to change it. We make this book change us. Amen. The Holy Spirit changes us. And we want to show how Daniel allows us to make sense of the book of Revelation. I personally believe that without the book of Daniel and this prophecy of the 70 weeks, the book of Revelation is cannot be understood. I think that these verses are the key to understanding that. And I think in the end what we see is that God is not finished with Israel and that the church has not replaced Israel. Yes. Well, let's go on to the next slide and then we'll see the text that we're dealing with. I use the NIV text, but I use the 1984 version before it became corrupted by a revision that was terrible. So if you use an NIV, make sure it's a 1984 copyright. So let's just read through it. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end is decreed and poured out on him. Now let's begin to take this apart. First, let's go to the next slide, please. There are three contextual references to the Jews, Israel, and Jerusalem. 77s are decreed for your people, Daniel, your people, Israel, and your holy city, Jerusalem. From the issuing of the decree to restore and build Jerusalem, we're talking about your holy city. Again, after the anointed one will be cut off, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city. What city are we what's the context here? Jerusalem. That's just the natural reading of the text. It's Jerusalem. And the sanctuary. The sanctuary is part of the temple, which is in Jerusalem. And then on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. So as we go through the text, we see it deals with the Jews. It deals with Jerusalem. And that's what this prophecy is decreed for. Jerusalem, the city, the sanctuary, the temple. So just looking at the words and taking it all together in context, Jerusalem, your people, the Jews. Next slide, please. Notice also that we have two rulers who are referred to, two separate people. the anointed one, the ruler. And again, the anointed one, referring back here to this person. And then somebody else. After the anointed one is cut off and has nothing, the people of the ruler who will come. So that's somebody else. We have two rulers referred to. And when it talks about he here, obviously, that goes right back to this man, because that's the antecedent. It could come up here, but that's the logical way to look at it. So now we know that we have two rulers that are referred to. Next slide, please. The time involved is exactly specified as 77s or 70 weeks in verse 24. And these 70 weeks are divided into three lesser periods. 77s are decreed. There will be seven sevens, verse 25. Verse 25 again, and 62 sevens. These are supposed to be lumped together into 69 sevens, a period of 483. And then we break, and after the 62 sevens, we have a 1 7. Now, some people say, well, what happened to the other seven sevens? It's just a way of saying things shortly. If I tell you how to get to Giant Eagle, and I say, you know, all you need to do is, you know, get on Overdale, make a left on, that would be northwest, on Nottingham, and there you're there. Well, if I would say, you know, well, just make a left on Nottingham, I don't have to tell you about how to get out onto Overdale. You already know that exists. I'm telling you, you know, it's shorthand in order to, you know, explain how to get someplace. So when it talks about the 62 sevens here, I believe that it's just a verbal shorthand to add this and this together and say, you know, this is the last thing we talked about. This is the terminus. It's simply verbal shorthand. Now we'll go to the next slide. The beginning with that 77 starts with the command to rebuild Jerusalem with streets and a trench, not rebuild the temple, but rebuild Jerusalem. We're talking about streets and trench in times of trouble. That helps us date when we're going to start this. Next slide, please. At a later time, after the 62 sevens, which follows the first sevens, two events occur that are not a part of the 62 sevens. In fact, this happens between them. If you notice the language, after the 62 sevens, because the end of the 62 sevens, the anointed one comes. That marks the end of the 69 total sevens, the 483. But after the 62 sevens, so this is like the prophecy, you know, the two segments. This segment is over. And we're going to see that's 483 years. After that is over, two things are going to happen. There's a space that is not a part of the 70 weeks. And the language is clear. The anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing, and the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the language naturally puts a gap in here, because it's after this, but before the 1-7 begins. Next slide, please. And after those two important events, we come to the last seven, and its beginning is marked by the establishment of a confirmed covenant between the ruler who will come and the Jewish nation for 1-7. Next slide, please. And in the midst of that one last seven, the ruler who will come apparently breaks his covenant and causes the Jewish offering and sacrifice to cease. And this will end, this will last, as far as the sacrifice and offering ceased, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him, which would be at the end of that last seven. And when the 77s are complete, there will commence a time of everlasting righteousness for Israel involving the anointing of the Most Holy. 77s are are decreed for you. We'd want to go to the next slide, please. So 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city. And after that time is over, you've put an end to sin, you've atoned for wickedness, there's a time to bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. What could that refer to? Didn't Revelation 2, didn't we say the word millennium 6 times in a row? Do you think I could talk about that? To seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So at the end of that period, prophecy, vision is sealed up and everlasting righteousness is brought in and the most holy is anointed. So when they end, at the end of that 77s, something really good happens. Really good. Let's go to the next slide. Now we have to decide. That term seven, what does that mean? Does that mean minutes, hours, weeks, years? Look at the context of Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel 9, 1, at the time, he says it was the first year of Xerxes, 539, 538 BC. This is when this was written. So we're in the 5th century when this prophecy was made. And Daniel 9, 2 says, Daniel was studying the book of Jeremiah, where he finds out that the Babylonian captivity will last 70 years. And there we read in Jeremiah 29, 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Daniel then goes into prayer, and before he can finish his prayer, the angel Gabriel comes to him and cuts his prayer short and gives him this prophecy of the 70 weeks. To me, the immediate context is clear. We've just been talking about years. Now Gabriel comes and he talks in terms of years. That is a logical way to read the text. It follows what has preceded just immediately. It follows what had happened to Daniel. I read this. I understood from reading scripture that Jeremiah had read, the captivity will last 70 years. I'm going to go to prayer and confess the sins of my people. I can't even finish my prayer. And all of a sudden an angelic visitor comes. And guess what? He starts talking to me about the 77s. I think the context here is years. So I think this is what we have at this point. Oh, next slide, please. We have a period of 483 years at 360 days each. That's the Jews used a lunar calendar. That is how they computed their time. And we know that it starts with the order to rebuild Jerusalem. That's when the 69 sevens begins, the 7 sevens and 62 sevens. That's this block of time. And we know that it ends when the anointed one enters Jerusalem. That's when the 69 seven ends. That's what the text has said. Then there's a gap. It says after the 69 sevens. After this prophetic block, there are two events. The anointed one is cut off. People of the ruler who will come destroy Jerusalem and the temple. So there's an undefined gap. Time just isn't given there. Then it says, now let's get back to this last set of 7 years. The ruler, it starts when the ruler who is to come makes a covenant with the Jews for 1-7. The last seven begins. 7 years at 360 days each, 2,520 days. And it says in the middle of that seven, at 1,260 days, the ruler breaks the covenant, causes sacrifice and offerings to cease, and then the decreed end comes upon the ruler. That's the end of the last seven. So that's what we know so far. In the form of a graph, as far as what we have in the book of Daniel. Next slide, please. So what sense does a literal, historical, grammatical, hermeneutic, or interpretation make of all that? Well, let's take it literally. The context is years. That's what we're assuming. So let's interpret this in literal solar years. A complete orbit of the Earth around the sun at 365.2422 days, which corrects for leap years. That's from the NASA website. And all of these calculations I did with this 25-year-old pocket calculator I had when I worked for Revco. So this is add, subtract, multiply, divide. You could do this yourself. It is not rocket science. Historical. Now we have to look at this in its historical context. Remember, to the Jews, a year was 360 days. We use the Julian calendar. It's different, so we have to back calculate. We're going to have to convert to a common denominator. Just if I want to add 1/2 and 1/8, I have to go to a common denominator to add them. So I changed the 1/2 into 4/8. Now I have a common denominator. 4/8 plus 1/8, 5/8. So what we have to do is get to a common denominator, days, in order to back calculate and understand that in our Julian calendar. And our grammatical way of interpretation, we're taking the words at their face value within a context that appears in every way to be a communication of hard data. In a lot of ways, like we study in the book of Proverbs, there are many things that are given, you know, to give you wisdom in order to lead the way to live your life. But here we're talking about data, dates, the exact start, exact stop, and then two events. Then again, exact start, exact stop. And these dates are married to future events and a linear sequence of time cast in 7-year segments. We're going to see if that type of an interpretation can make sense of these verses. Next slide, please. So the calculation for the first block of time. So 69 sets of 7 years, 69 sevens, that would be 483 years. 483 years times 360 days equals 173,880 days. To the Jew reading this, they're saying, this prophecy deals with 173,880 days. That's what it is. That's how we are going to figure it out in our calendar. Now, the start of the 69 sevens was the order to rebuild Jerusalem, and this was done by Xerxes on March 14 through 15, 445 BC. That's in Nehemiah 2, 1 through 2. I've gotten that from the Encyclopedia Britannica and several other secular and Bible-based resources. That's what people say it is. And the end of the 69 sevens is supposed to be marked by the Anointed One presenting himself as King of the Jews, 173,880 days from March 14th through 15th, 445 BC. So, next slide, please. To convert from the Jewish lunar calendar to the Julian solar calendar, we have to divide 173,880 days. I know for some of you, you're going, oh. But see, this is what I do at work. So to me, this stuff turns me on. I'm saying, oh, I can figure this out. So we see that if we take 173,880 days and divide it by the number of days in a solar year, we come up with 476.06766 solar years. Now we need to see how many days are in 0.06766 solar years. We multiply that out, 24.71 days. We round that up to 25 days. So we would expect that from March 14th, 15th, 445 BC, adding 476 years and 25 days, we would have an idea when the Anointed One presented himself as King of Israel. Do you suppose this might work? Let's find out. Oh, and I know that what we have to do here is we have to take 476 minus 445. That takes us to 31 AD. But we have to add 1 year because there is no year zero. Putting that back into our calendar, there's a zero there. So we have to add a year. So that takes us to 32 AD. Isn't that odd? Who lived in 32 AD? Yeah. Next slide, please. So let's add those extra 25 days. See, this is all stuff I just pulled, these little icky calendars off the internet and pasted them onto this. And then we'll start it at March 14th. And let's just start to go. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Next slide, please. And then here, so 14th, 15th, 25th. So right there in April of 32 AD, that's when the Anointed One would have presented himself as the King of Israel. I would submit that's within a week of when Jesus made his triumphal entry. No other book in the world can do this. My skin is all goose fleshy, even talking about this. No other book in the world, which is why we believe it. When people say, oh, how do you believe in Jesus? That's just a bunch of gobbledygook. I said, no, that's hard, historical fact. Amen. Next slide, please. See, some people say, though, that, you know, well, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus wasn't really presenting himself as a literal king, was he? Well, was Jesus presenting himself as King of the Jews and Messiah at the triumphal entry? If you read John 11, 45 to 53, the Sanhedrin sure thought so before he walked in. They said, this man is going to take away our position and our place. He's a threat to the nation. Three times they talk about how Jesus is a threat to the nation, a threat to the nation, a threat to the nation. What nation? The Jewish nation. They knew if he came and set up his position as king, what happens to their position? Hey, see ya. Don't need ya. His enemies said he wants to set himself up as king. The people want him as king. What happens to us? Oh, we can't have this. In Matthew 21, 1 to 17, where Jesus makes the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, in fulfillment of Zechariah 9, 9, sitting on the foal of the donkey, coming in through the eastern gates, the crowds were cheering him, saying, Hosanna, son of David. Again, his enemies understood what that meant and said to Jesus and his disciples, stop that. Do you hear what they're saying? They're calling you the Messiah. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to stop them. They understand what I'm doing. Jesus was literally presenting himself at that time as the Messiah. There was only one day where Jesus was born. Only one day when he was baptized. There was only one day when he was transfigured. There was only one day where he was crucified. And there was only one day that he presented himself as King of the Jews and said, I am the Messiah, I am here to present myself. I think that was in the area of that second week of April, 32 AD, that I was able to come up with just using my old Revco calculator. I don't think God meant the Bible to be that hard for people to understand. Amen. He made it for its like child to understand. Next slide. Do you know in Luke 19, 41 to 44, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they did not recognize the time of God's coming. Him, Jesus, God, his coming. If they had, Jesus said a time of peace would have commenced for the literal Jewish nation. Now, instead, the Jewish nation shall be dashed to the ground, which is what happened by Titus Andronicus in 70 AD. And this fits the chronology of events in Daniel chapter 9. The end of the 69 weeks is marked by the appearance of the Anointed One to the Jews. Afterwards, the Anointed One is cut off and crucified. And in 70 AD, Jerusalem and the nation are destroyed. Next slide, please. Jesus presented himself as the Anointed One within the context of a literal Messiah king over Israel the first time in April 32 AD. And when Jesus comes the second time, it will be to present himself as the Anointed One within the context of a literal Messiah king over Israel. Next slide, please. So to summarize the dates, The beginning of the 69 sevens begins with Xerxes' command to rebuild Jerusalem, March 14th, 15th, 445 BC. The end of the 69 sevens is when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where he formally presented himself as Messiah and King. And by the way, can we say that the fact that we were able to calculate from 445 BC March to that second week in April of 32 AD, that the 77s are years? Yeah, they're years. This amends our chart. Could we go to the next slide, to the chart? So now we can say this. That started March 14th, 445. It ended April 8th through 9th, 32 AD. And now we have this gap. That's what we call now the church age. And the gap contains only two events that are spoken of by Daniel. The anointed one is cut off, the crucifixion of Christ in 30 AD, and the people of the ruler who is to come to destroy Jerusalem and the temple, 70 AD. I go to a lot of Jewish weddings, and the man always takes, they're supposed to use a cup, but what they use really is a light bulb, and they wrap it in a napkin, and the husband, at the end of the marriage ceremony, they put that on the ground, and the husband smashes it with his foot, and that's a way for the Jews to give a testimony to each other to say, we remember the destruction of the temple by Titus Andronicus in 70 AD. I've watched that time and time. They know this. They know this date. Every Jewish wedding, they go back to that event. We also know then that there's a final week of sevens. And my thought would be, well, if the first 69 were years, then doesn't it just follow that the next set of seven, well, they're years as well. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So what do we make of that last 7 years? They're in the future. Haven't happened yet. We can go to the next slide. So where did Jesus place the timing of Daniel's final 7 years? Did Jesus ever make comment about this? Now in Daniel 9:27, he talks about the Antichrist. He says, Daniel talks about the ruler who will come, the Antichrist. He will confirm a covenant with many for 7 years. In the middle of the 7 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end is decreed. Now in Matthew 25:15-16, Jesus says, and they've asked him in Matthew 24, when is the time of your coming? When will you come to set up the kingdom? When is the time of the end? And Jesus even says, let me tell you, these are the signs of the end. These are the signs of the end. You'll find it all through and through Matthew 24. And then Jesus says, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you how to interpret Daniel. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Matthew 24:30, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So Jesus was saying, you know, shortly after this, the abomination that causes desolation, run away. He's saying, you know, when this happens and you see this, run. Immediately go away. You know, if you're in the field, don't go back to your house to get a coat or anything. Go immediately. The whole context here is immediate action. When you see the abomination that causes desolation, immediate action, run, because the end is near. The Son of Man is coming quickly. Next slide, please. Whatever the abomination that causes desolation is, Daniel placed it in the middle of the last 7 years before the anointed one was to appear again. In Matthew 24, Jesus clearly places the abomination that causes desolation at the end. just before his second coming in glory. Therefore, the 70th week of Daniel 9 must also come at the end of the present age, just prior to Christ coming in glory. It is still future. And my thinking is, do you know, if that's Jesus's interpretation of Daniel, I think that's going to be my interpretation of Daniel. You know, that's it's just... So what
good
do we... Yeah, good choice.
Good choice.
So what do we know so far? The prophecy... Oh, we could go to the next slide, please. The prophecy of the 70 weeks deals with 70 sets of 70 years. And that 70 weeks of years is broken down into two subsets. The 483 years, which is in the past, and we saw where at the end of 173,880 days, after Xerxes in 445 said, rebuild Jerusalem, to the day Jesus Christ presented himself as Messiah King in Jerusalem, rode through the Eastern Gate, fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, came mounted on a donkey. But this, Jesus says, that's at the very end, right before all the destruction, right before I come. So that hasn't happened yet. Okay, next slide, please. Daniel noted two events that occurred after the 483 years and before the 7 years. The anointed one is cut off. That was the crucifixion. People of the ruler who will come destroy Jerusalem. We know that there is a gap. And that's not something that theologians just made up as a trick to say, what do we do with this? How do we make this make sense? No, this is the natural reading of the text. There is a gap there between the 69th and 70th week. And there's no reason to think of the last 7 years of the prophecy in terms of anything different of years. It's no different than the 483 years that went before. The last 7 years are the same lunar years of 360 days each. And Jesus himself placed Daniel's prophecy of the abomination that causes desolation at the end, just before his second coming. So the 70th week is still future. Next slide, please. So again, what do we do with that final week of sevens? Well, next slide, please. Could the 70th week of Daniel be the exact chronological framework for Revelation 6 through 19? I'd like to think so. Do you realize in Revelation, all the especially 6 through 19, all chronological data is noted in 3.5 lunar years or 360 days each? If you check out all those references, whenever they talk about time, it's a time times and half a time. 42 months, 1260 days. All 3.5 year segments. That's coincidental, isn't it? And Revelation 11, 1 through 3 splits the time of the book of Revelation into 2 3.5 year segments. Well, what do you know about that? There's the time of the two witnesses for 1,260 days, which, by the way, is the same as 42 months. And then there's the time when the Gentiles trample the holy city for 42 months. Next slide, please. And Revelation 11 through 13 notes several events surrounding the midpoint of those 7 years. Two witnesses who prophesy for 1,260 days. From the beginning of the tribulation until the midpoint are killed. The seventh trumpet is blown. The Jewish people are driven into the desert for 1260 days. Do you remember that little thing we just read in Matthew 24? You know, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, don't even go back to get your coat. Run to the mountains. Flee. The Jewish people are driven into the desert. Satan and his angels are cast from heaven. The beast is allowed authority for 42 months. And the second beast institutes the mark. I've got to catch up on my slide here too. Next slide, please. So it appears that the events of Revelation 11 through 13 fit right in the middle of what Daniel prophesied in the 70th week. So here we have the 1260 days where the two witnesses shall have their testimony, and then they'll be killed and their bodies will be raptured up to heaven. And then the 42 months where the beast will be given unlimited power and be able to, this is when he will cause the abomination that causes desolation. He will set himself up in the Jewish temple and demand that he be worshiped. And I look at that and I said, that fits. That's the key to understanding it. Next slide, please. So which makes more sense? This, which would be more of your typical amillennial way, they would say, oh yeah, that first 7 years, that was 400, that first 69 sevens, that was 483 years. But that final week of sevens, that's just an indeterminate amount of time, and you just, you know, the church age just goes on. And I say to myself, that's not consistent. So if we go back a slide, I look at that and I say, this fits hand in glove with Daniel chapter 9. And I think Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27, gives us the chronological framework for Revelation 6 through 19. What goes on in the world, what goes on in the earth at that time? And I think that kind of data just put steel in my bones. It makes me realize, yes, I have faith in things I still don't understand, but I understand those numbers. That's essentially the presentation that I have. And I think that shows we're dealing with a literal kingdom. Ken?
Can you make copies of that for us?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask for a show of hands of who would want copies of that, because I realized I was going to kill a tree. You know, I've killed several trees. So let me get 1, 2, 3. Do you know?
Email it.
Do you know what? If we could have a sheet of paper in the back and you could all put your email addresses on there, who would want that emailed, then I could email the PowerPoint to you. And if others of you are old school like me and get a little befuddled with stuff like that, I would be happy to run that offer. So how many would prefer to have a hard copy? Most people still want the hard copy because they're old like me. All right, good for you. Okay. We're just going to make about 40. I think 40 will do. Okay, thanks. But now, this is the sweetest moment of all. Now, Pastor Les and the rest of the elders will be happy to entertain all of your questions.
He gets the
joke. I think you do that,
Mike.
Paul Carter? Paulus. Paul Carter just left.
Where'd Paul go?
Dave, get up here.
I'm out of here.